Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by ICOM. For more information, visit ICOMAmerica.com/hamnation. And by DX Engineering. DX Engineering offers practically everything you need to outfit your shack, plus the fastest shipping in the industry. Most in-stock items ship the same day, Monday through Friday until 10 p.m. Eastern. For more information, visit DXEngineering.com/hamnation.
This is Ham Nation, episode number 353 for May 30th, 2018. Sending AE4FH to Yoda.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome. You're watching Ham Nation. It's a great show about ham radio and all kinds of things. I'm Bob Heil, and I'm talking to you from our home in Belleville, Illinois, outside of St. Louis. And we have some really cool things going to happen tonight. And first of all, George is here. He's got his soldering iron warmed up. George, how are you doing down in Mississippi?
Oh, we're doing pretty good down here, Bob. That tropical storm kind of missed us. It steered more to the east over there and came in Florida. But other than that, it's just getting hot here, Bob. I think the heat index today felt like 100 degrees. So that means field day is not far away.
All right. Yeah, we'll be waiting on that one. Field day is a biggie. And we have Amanda, and she has a very special guest, and I guess you're getting all ready. We'll see you in a few minutes with that. How are you doing out there? You're probably real cool, though, aren't you, Amanda?
Well, I am definitely a cool person, Bob, but yes. No, we're heating up pretty quickly. Tomorrow it's going to be about 92 degrees. It's definitely ramping into fire season, so we all stay very vigilant here and contain the campfires and all that good stuff. But stay tuned. I do have a wonderful guest you guys don't want to miss.
That's right, and it's coming up real soon. Don is I think he's waiting in the wings. He will be here. He's got some things happening too. And I think Dr. T's with him. But we are going to take a minute to wish a happy birthday to a very important person of the Ham Nation crew that you never see. And that's Dan, K9LVS. Dan, how are you?
Oh, we're doing pretty good. We're doing pretty good.
Well, it's nice to have you with us on camera, and we want to say happy birthday to you today. That's one thing. So happy birthday, Dan. Cool. But what we're doing
happy
tonight.
Birthday.
Yay.
Yeah, 55 years young.
55. All right. We are initiating a new segment here. It's really not new, but it's going to be an additional segment, and you're going to do it, and it's going to be about videos. You do a lot of videos. You do a lot of editing, and you do it very well. So we are really proud to have you join us, and we just really have to beg all of the watchers, please send videos, and we'll have more about that in the coming weeks about what you can do and so on. He'll give you some tips and all that. Where can we send those? Where's the best place address to send anything to you, Dan?
Best address to send stuff to me is n9lvs@arrl.net.
Yeah, that's simple. That's great. Okay, well, I hope you get piled a foot high by next week. So please, everybody, no matter how long, how short, send them along to Dan, and let's start seeing some of your stations and your pets or whatever. Let's see what you got cooking.
Station videos would be fantastic.
Yeah. Well, you do a great job, and we do appreciate you being here with us. So that'll be quite an exciting thing to have more and more videos. So thanks so much, Dan. Appreciate you.
My pleasure.
I I wanted also to let everybody know, I just got a note from Ted Randall about the transmitter. They, I guess, have had a little change in the WTWW. It said tonight Ham Nation will be on 5085 and our new frequency, 15.815, not on 12.105, but 18.815. That's a new one. So they want signal reports. So all of you tonight, let's do that. Tune up to 15.815 and you will hear Ham Nation. And you want to send the report, real simple, email at wtww.us. Email at wtww.us. So please, let's help them because they do a lot to keep Ham Nation out there worldwide on their big transmitter. And I have to tell everybody, somebody asked me a while ago, what are you doing to this shirt on? Well, I'm getting into Beach Boy mode because I've been listening to them all week on the Sirius radio. Wow, what a cool thing they did. Sirius put them on their own channel, and boy, you hear some great stuff. So if it doesn't make any difference if you aren't a Beach Boy fan, tune in. I think you'll like it. So that's what I've been doing with that. So had to get on my California Beach Boy shirt, and that's what's going on here. And I had to admit, I left the pine board and all of that back, but I got some things here to talk about. But in doing it, I left my microphone. So I have whole backs of them. I left them down in Pleasant Hope. So I had to grab this one. This is out of one of my cases in here. It's signed by none other than Slash. He said, I'm going to sign a microphone, but I like it's got to be pink. I said, okay. Well, we're going to take just a couple of minutes because we got a lot going on tonight. But one of the big features of Dayton Hamvention this year was this guy. Man, oh, man. We literally had thousands come by to see it. We fired it up, had my dummy load going, and that was just so much fun. And so many of you come up as showing me some pictures of what you build and talking about it, and I love it. I love it, the fact that you're building. That's what this is all about. But we're kind of winding up the project, and one of the things that I've had some requests about, what if they have a low impedance balanced microphone, 3-pin XLR, like this guy right here. What do you do? How do you plug that in? Well, you don't. You have to do one other thing to it. First of all, the pine board is high impedance for crystal microphones or a high impedance microphone. So what we do is we use one of these little guys. This is a transformer, and they're very hard to find. So a few years ago, I said, no problem. So we designed it specifically for these uses of ham radio, where we have about a 30,000 or 50,000 ohm input, and we're putting a 600 ohm microphone into it, and there's a little guy right there. That's all it takes, and it's in our parts store, and here's how you hook it up. It's very simple. Thanks to Gene, this is what you do, and this will take a high impedance input and allow you to put in a 3-pin balanced input. That works great. The microphone is 1, 2, 3, 1 being ground, 2 being hot, 3 being negative, and that goes on the primary of the transformer. And then the secondary drives the input that you built some time ago, and that's how it all worked out. So simple to do, and it really makes a lot of a lot better audio when you do some of that, because you can have better microphones. Here's what Gene did to his. This is kind of neat. He let me get this on my camera, right? He did a plexiglass on his pine board for the connectors and all the front panel. It's a plexiglass. What a cool deal. So that's what's going to happen for any of you guys and gals that need to put a low impedance microphone into the high impedance input of the pine board. And Gene has done some marvelous drawings, all of those, including this one. And then Chip, K9MIT, he has taken all of the videos where, you know, some of them are 10 minutes, some 15. He's taken all of those clips throughout the entire session and put them in a PDF PowerPoint. And you find it at our site, hylsound.com. I didn't know where else to put it. There we could. It didn't cost any money. So you go to hylsound, hylsound.com. Down at the bottom of the ham radio page, there's probably 50, 60 pages there now. And there's comments and lots of guys helping each other. And it's really great because all of it's there. If you have any questions, you can go back and you don't have to watch all of the shows. You see just those clips that you need, including a Dizzo guy right here. That diagram is up there. So have fun with it. I'm having a fun time working the pine board. That's just wonderful to get on the air and hear some of the pine boards. So I hope that you enjoy it as much as I do getting on the air. Well, we have so much here tonight, and let's get on with some of the important things, especially with ICOM. And I think, George, you have a note about ICOM.
I do have a note about ICOM, and we'll talk about that right after this message.
Spring is in the air. Check out ICOM's line of D-Star radios. ICOM offers a variety of high-performance and innovative products, and you can stay connected around the world with ICOM's D-Star radios. ICOM's newest D-Star handheld is ready for the season ahead. Lightweight, compact, and tough, the new ID31A+ is a great choice for any shack or those in harsh environments. 70 centimeters, analog and digital, terminal mode, access point mode, and its IPX waterproof rating. The ICOM ID51A+2 provides extended D-Star coverage, allowing you to listen to whatever you want. Terminal and access mode, send and receive text messages and pictures, DV fast data mode, and easy FM repeater setting. The compact and user-friendly ID4100A is a D-Star mobile with big rig features. Its intuitive interface, variety of operating modes, and Bluetooth capability make this the preferred D-Star option for those on the go. Integrated GPS receiver, new dot matrix display for enhanced DR mode and GPS information, terminal mode and access point mode, applications for iOS and Android devices, and there's a micro SD card slot for voice and data storage. ICOM's ID5100A has taken innovation and mobility to the next level. With its touchscreen and internal GPS, this radio is a must-have while assessing a situation. 5.5-inch display responds naturally to the touch. DV-DV dual watch receives both FM-FM and FM-DV modes simultaneously. VS-3 Bluetooth headset provides hands-free communications, and you can show your position, course, and speed with the integrated GPS receiver. Learn more about D-Star today. Visit icomamerica.com/amateur.
And you can tune in and enter to win. After each episode of Ham Nation, go to icomamerica.com/hamnation. Register to win some great swag prizes like T-shirts and hats. While you're there, learn how you can win in the monthly grand prize drawing for a new radio. And for May, that is going to be the ID4100A entry-level D-Star mobile with big rig features. VHF, UHF dual-band transceiver with built-in GPS, micro SD card slot, voice and data storage, and there's an available Android and iOS app, and it has the built-in DV-FM near repeater search function. So go to icomamerica.com/hamnation after this and each episode of Ham Nation and register to win. And right after the episode tonight would be a good time to go there because it'll be your last chance to get in on the drawing for this month's ID4100A. Somebody's going to win it. Might as well be you. Thanks, ICOM, for sponsoring Ham Nation. And I just wanted to mention, Bob was talking about the transformer a while ago and using that to put low impedance microphones on the pine board there. That is an excellent idea. You could hook up a microphone, a low impedance microphone, just by doing the correct wiring and skip the transformer. But if you do that, you're not going to be very happy with the result. You really need to match that impedance to get the best response out of it, a flatter frequency response. And yeah, certainly I think it's going to be quite a bit better than what you'll get with a crystal mic for sure. Well, Amanda's here, and I know she's got a special guest tonight, and I'm not going to hold her up. I'm going to let him get right on into it and bring us up to date on what's going on.
That's great, George. Thank you. But I think you know who your weekly winner was, and I think he might be on the next Skype video next to me. Do you want to announce it real quick while he's here live?
Oh, well, yes, but first I will probably want to look and see who it was. Was it James Lee?
That's correct. That's Faith Hannah's father, and he's here. So just you can just show him the book and say you want it.
Well, here you go. I'll just let you read it right now while you're sitting here, and we can save the shipping. Oh, congratulations, James. We'll talk about your answer in a moment.
That's funny. I couldn't resist because he had said, I think I won. I got the email from George. I said, okay, well, I'll have to put him on the spot and let you announce it. Well, you guys and gals, we're here for a very special reason tonight. We have Faith Hannah, AE4FH, and she's going to tell us why she's here tonight. Faith Hannah, you had a pretty interesting experience there in Dayton, didn't you?
Yeah, as far as I know that we're here, I haven't really been told a whole lot about this, but I was chosen to go on the Yoda summer event early this August, and it's being held in South Africa, and I found that out a couple days after we came home from Dayton, but to be able to go, we need to raise $4,500 to get the tickets and passport renewals and all that stuff. So, you know, we started a GoFundMe so we could raise the money. And so far it seems to be working well.
Look at that, $2,865 out of $4,500 that you're looking to get. Now, we have a picture of you in Dayton. You were sitting down with one of the, I guess he was a representative of Youngsters on the Air. Is that correct? You can show that one, Victor, if you want.
Yeah, that's Koos Fick. He's from South Africa. And Faith Hannah interviewed him for the YouTube channel. That's actually my feet down in the bottom. And she interviewed him, but I haven't gotten that one edited yet. And we haven't got it up. We're going to try to get it up tomorrow or the next day, though.
Very good. And so it was pretty, I mean, I don't think you expected this experience, Faith Hannah, is that correct? You just weren't looking, you didn't even know this really existed, and you found out that there was this Youngsters on the Air while you were at Dayton. Is that correct?
Well, I had heard of it, you know, because we've worked Yoda special events in December and other times of the year, but I never really knew exactly what it was. I guess I always thought it was like almost like the yacht group, where it was just a group and they did things. But I didn't know it was more of a, not a de-expedition, but almost like a de-expedition.
Exactly. So this, what I've read about it is it's kind of like a ham camp. You know, you have your summer camps here in the United States where you go and you learn how to shoot bow and arrows and things like that. But this is actually where they have hands-on training for different things. They do, this is a fox hunt. You can tell by the antennas there. they participate in that. And you saw some girls soldering there. There's some more soldering stations. So they really get fully involved, it sounds like. And it's from people from all over the world. Is that correct? I mean, how many different youths from different nations go? Do you know?
There's going to be about 80 there from all over the world. I don't know exactly what countries, but they're trying to bring Yoda into ITU Region 2, which, if anybody doesn't know, that includes the Americas. So as far as we know, I'm the first person from the U.S. to go on a Yoda event.
And I was going to mention that is that we had seen, I've been browsing through their website all day long trying to learn more about them. And everyone brings their flags to represent where they're from. And I had never seen an American there. So this is really phenomenal that you're getting invited to this and that you've been accepted to go. And I do believe that there is an application process. Is that correct? They want you to fill out everything and kind of see what your level of experience is. Is that how it works?
Yeah, we filled out an application after we found out about it. It basically asks what you can bring to the table and why you think you're a good choice for it. And then we had to make a phone call to a WhatsApp number. Basically, it was 30 seconds telling about yourself and why you think ham radio was cool so that it could be broadcasted on local radio. And I think that channel is a channel that's often listened to by kids. So I think they're trying to help get more kids licensed and involved.
Well, that's really awesome. And that's quite the choice there. So the other question I have is, don't they bring things to the table? Like you bring your own food and you have a night kind of where you display the foods from your country and everyone gets to partake and they go from table to table. I know I had some photos in there of it. And it's just kind of, not only do you learn more about ham radio, but you learn more about other cultures from around the world. Is that correct?
As far as I know, yeah, that's what you do.
Yeah, we haven't gotten a whole lot of information yet, Amanda. This has all really taken place since Hamvention. And what we do understand is that there's like a culture night. And I understand there's going to be kids from, or youngsters from, like all over Europe, Africa, and the Middle East. So it's really a cool way, for these kids to get to meet people from other cultures, other countries, and make friendships that might last a lifetime and then put a face to that call sign when they get to work them on the air. So it sounds like a great opportunity. And I think it would be great to get it over here in Region 2 in North and South America. So I'd like to see that happen, sooner than later.
I agree fully. And the program in itself is just so original, and you don't hear a lot about it. But this is their first year that they showed up in Dayton. And they're really promoting it this year. And it looks like they're reaching out to the rest of the world because this used to be only a European thing. And it's only been going on since 2011, if I recall correctly. And it's been hosted in the UK and Amsterdam. No, that's incorrect. Austria. They've had it in whatever Yankee Papa 3 Alpha is. And I don't remember what country that is. But they've hosted it throughout Europe. This is the first time that it's been in Africa, especially in South Africa. So this is an amazing experience for young Faith Hannah to be able to have the chance to go to. So this is why we brought it on tonight. We really want to get our viewers, if you have $5, if you have $10, if you have $100, go to the GoFundMe site and really help Faith Hannah out. Now these guys, as a family, you know that there's how many kids are there? There's five, right?
There's four kids. There's four
kids, and Michelle and James. And they have such a busy schedule. Now, they had also planned for Dry Tortugas later on in August, and they have to postpone that now, and it's going to be in December. So tell me what else. What are the kids doing this summer to keep them so busy?
Oh, wow. This summer. Well, Zechariah and Faith Hannah were both in college this year doing dual enrollment. They just got done with that right before Dayton. This Saturday, we're actually doing a field exercise on Hontoon Island here in Florida. It's a state park with our local club, the West Volusia Amateur Radio Society. We're going to have some fun out there and get some people exposed to operating in the field. And then Hope and Faith Hannah and I will be going down to the Florida Keys, the last weekend in July for the IOTA contest. Kind of as a dry run for the dry tortugas, we're going to primitive camp in a nature preserve. It's kind of cool. It's a place where when I was a kid lived down there, my stepfather was a caretaker 45 years ago. And got a chance to, or we're getting a chance to go back and do some primitive camping there and get on the air from there to get an idea of what it will be like to camp and not be able to run down to the local hardware store or the local Radio Shack to get parts. And that'll be, the last weekend in July. Yeah. And then originally we had planned, and we're going to have a call sign of K3Y. For Key. And then we originally had planned to go to the Dry Tortugas the same week as the Huntsville Ham Fest, the 18th to the 21st of August. But now with this trip to South Africa, Faith Hannah would get back from South Africa after a 36 or 37 hour flight. About 24 hours before we'd need to be on the ferry. So we got the reservations changed for the ferry, and the ARRL-BEC changed the special event call sign to, it's going to be December 14th to the 17th. And that'll be Faith Hannah and Hope on the air primarily. The idea is to get an idea of if it's feasible to take young hams to the Dry Tortugas or other places like that to give them experience of what a real de-expedition might be like, where you're going to have to carry in everything, set up your radio, set up your antennas, prepare your own foods, carry everything out, and maybe to inspire the next generation of people who will be going to Bouvet or some of these remote places. So that's the first trip. Going to take our kids the first time in case we fall flat on our faces. I don't want to bring another kid and have them get disappointed. But hopefully it will work out, and in the future we'll be taking other kids to places like this as well.
Absolutely. It sounds like quite the adventure, and you're a brave soul to be taking three girls, one boy, and a wife out there. Kudos to you. Now, I'm just going to see, Don, are you on?
No, he's not.
No, okay. I was just going to see if any of the other hosts had any questions for you guys. Bob?
Well, my only question is, why didn't they do this sooner, whoever nominated you? Because you've got quite a crew there, and I'm just so proud of that whole family, James. And I'm looking forward to some of the great shots and videos and stuff that they can bring back. So keep us posted. We're all very proud of you, and you're going to hit that target real soon, I do believe. So. I think it was Jeff in the chat room a minute ago said, if just each of us would send you a few dollars, you'd have that done in a few minutes here. So maybe that'll happen. But thanks a lot for putting this together, Amanda. And good luck to you, Faith. We'll look forward to your report.
Thank you, Faith Hannah. And thank you, James, for agreeing to be on in such short notice. And I'll give you the final comment there, and then we'll say goodbye.
Yeah, we will. I'll definitely be taking a video camera and be making lots of videos over there, as we'll do at the Dry Tortugas. And it's only going to be me and the two girls on the Dry Tortugas, not the whole family. But hey, Tana, do you want to say anything in closing, about thank you or anything like that?
Yeah, thank you to everyone who has donated and everyone who's shared the GoFundMe to others to help out. And thank you to everyone that's going to donate or planning on donating. And if anybody noticed, or if anybody didn't notice, he, while I was talking, was spelling out "please donate" in Morse code by blinking.
That's awesome. Thanks, you guys, so much for being on tonight. We really appreciate it. Go help Faith Hannah on GoFundMe. And I know you're going to make your mark and you're going to have a fantastic time in South Africa and a one-in-a-life opportunity. So we all look forward to you having such a great time there. Thanks, you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, that was great, Amanda. And a good idea to get them on here real quick so that she can start raising funds for that trip. That, you know, that's a little expense there. So I'm sure all help will be appreciated on that. You know, I was it wasn't right in Dayton, but I was at a hamvention just shortly here, and I ran into a lot of great people there. And we talked about the shows here and, you know, how much fun we have. And one guy in particular, Ed Richter, WB8BHL, who coincidentally is from Orlando, stopped and we chatted for a little bit. And he had done video work in the past, and he had produced a video here that he wanted to share with us that I think, a lot of us, particularly classic hams, are really going to enjoy this one right here. He calls it Classic in a Classic, and he took a classic Kenwood rig and put it in a 66 Mustang. It's... Boy, you know, it's the stuff dreams are made of. Let's take a look at that.
Hi, I'm Ed Richter, WB8BHL. And if you're like me, ham radio is just one of my many hobbies. I'm always looking for ways to combine the hobbies and enjoy them both at the same time. With that in mind, I was out cruising around in my classic car and talking with friends on my HT. My 1966 Mustang is like a time machine to me, and it can take me back to my high school days. So, I had a thought. Wouldn't it be cool to have my old Kenwood crystal-controlled radio under the dash in my classic car? Mobile radio operation has come a long way in the past 50 years. Take a look at this vintage Heathkit 20-meter monobander. Compare it to the current MFJ 20-meter monobander. Can you imagine putting one of these Heathkits under the dash in a modern vehicle? That's not the case in a 1966 Ford. Plenty of room here for a larger rig. Older FM rigs are not that big, but tend to be larger than today's units and came in single bands. Most manufacturers had rigs available in 2 meters, 220, and 70 centimeters. In many cases, they looked exactly the same, but with different model numbers, so you have a wide choice of possibilities. You can find these radios at very attractive prices at swap meets or on the internet. For my first project, I picked the Kenwood TR8300 UHF transceiver. One note, when searching for a rig, see if the unit has a CT-CSS board inside. This was almost always not an option in rigs of this era, as CTCSS was not that popular back in the day. Also, crystals new are about $20 each, and you'll need a receive and a transmit per channel. On to the bench. My friend Fred volunteered to install the new crystal pair I ordered for my favorite repeater. As I mentioned, my rig is rockbound or crystal controlled, and he had to make sure everything was on frequency. We replaced pilot lamps, clean contacts, and set the deviation. He also installed the new CTCSS board I needed, as my rig did not have one. As you can see by the size of the new board and the space available in the Kenwood, this was not a very big problem. It must, however, be secured and insulated from any internal parts or voltages. Just follow the instructions that come with the board, or, if it's beyond your technical abilities, get an Elmer that has done this type of work to give you a hand. Make sure you understand what's involved and the technical steps and precautions. Fred adjusted the subaudible tone and set the dip switches for the desired tone, and we are ready to go. Note that big speaker. I had forgotten what FM sounds like coming from that big of a speaker. Another great noise from the past is the kerchunk sound the relay makes when you push the PTT button on the mic. Great stuff. Here's what the rig looks like under the dash, and it's just the way I remembered it.
So the next time you're shopping around in a ham fest and you see one of these beautiful old radios, think about picking it up and bringing it back to life again. For Fred, WDAKNI at the bench, and PJ, K4DVX behind the camera, I'm Ed Richter, WB8BHL. 7-3.
Boy, thanks for that great video, Ed. I know all of us are, or most of us are probably jealous now. What a nice setup there. You know, not just a 66 Mustang, but a classic ham rig in there to go with it as well. Can't say too many good things about it. But, you know, last week I asked a question on here that came from Clyde Hanley. And you remember we've talked about Clyde recently here, the engineer who had worked with WLW during the Superpower days and helped get VOA on the air in Bethany. Clyde had a list of basic logic questions that he liked to present to people, and I got this from Dave Snyder, our good friend at Voice of America. And I've asked a couple here on the show before, and I've got one that we asked last week that I thought would be tough. Apparently, everybody kind of got on to some of Clyde's tricks after the one we did last week. So I had a few people that missed this one, but most people got it. Once you know, you need to be on your P's and Q's. You could figure this one out. But the question was, divide 30 by 1/2 and add 10. And what's the answer? Well, you could see, you know, you might think, well, if I divide 30 by 1/2, that's 15. And then I add 10 to it. Well, that's not what he was asking. He said divide 30 by 1/2. Well, James Lee, WX4TV, who coincidentally was on the show here just a few moments ago, and that was not planned out. You know, I just randomly picked him out of the, the people who sent in the correct answers on the contest here. James said the answer would be 70, and that's correct. Divide 30 by 1/2, that means you divide 30 by 0.5. That's going to actually double the number. You're going to get 60. Then add 10 to it, and you got 70. So a trick question there. And James, well, congratulations. You're going to win this copy of Ham Radio is Alive from Gary Drash, K9DJT. Great book here. We met him at Hamvention this year, and he gave me one of the books here. And I have not had time to really do anything but just look in the preface here on it and kind of just get started. Have not been through the book yet, but it's a great inspiration to those who are in the hobby, and particularly to people who wanted to get into ham radio years ago, never did, or who were in the hobby and got out for a number of years and are wondering if it's, if ham radio is still even a thing. Well, Gary found out, yes, it is, and he talks all about it in here and some of the great modes and things you can do with ham radio today. So congratulations, James. Gary will be getting that right out to you. For next week, I've got another prize here, but I just want to mention Field Day. You know, that's coming up in just a few weeks here. You need to start making your plans now. And if you're not planning on doing anything for Field Day, well, you need to. Do something. It only comes once a year. If you're like where I am here, it's going to be tremendously hot. And it always is. But we enjoy it every year, going out, doing a little sweat, throwing up a few antennas, getting on the air and just having a good time, testing your communication skills. Now here, we're going to head back out to the woods this year. my friend Tommy and Wayne, and I'm not sure who else yet, are going back out in the woods and set up way off the grid and just camp out, have a good time, make a few contacts. Time to make your plans now. Don't put it off any longer. Call your buddies up and start making some plans. You can work field day from the house, but you know, that's not the same thing. Get out, test your skills, and you know, have fun this field day. And what I want to know is, what are your field day plans? Just send them to me, hamnationcontest@gmail.com. I will look over them, and we'll just randomly pick out somebody's field day plans for this year. And we'll announce it on the show next week when we'll give them this nice DX Engineering Sport bag. This is a great bag to put your stuff in for field day. I use it whenever I'm traveling, and I will be using it to put my stuff in for field day this year, along with that other great DX Engineering tote bag I've got back here. So just tell me, what are your fan plans for field day this year? HamNationContest@gmail.com, and you could win. Speaking of DX Engineering, I know we've got, I think we've got a little message from them, don't we, Don?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I'm looking through the catalog right here, the new one, and you can see right on the front, it clearly says Field Day Fever. And if you've ever done Field Day in the South, you know that that's just about what it feels like. You're right. It is hot down here. But it may be hot, but the good news is, George, it ain't cold. Field Day 2018, only, 3 weeks away now, June 23rd, 24th. Like George said, there's plenty of time to make your plans, but you need to start doing it now. And there's also still plenty of time to upgrade your stations and outfit your club with official gear so you can operate in comfort and style. And DX Engineering makes that fast and simple to get everything you need for field day in one convenient place. If you're in charge of antenna setup, you need the DX Engineering Field Day Triplexer Combo. It's a perfect choice for working the 20, 15, and 10-meter bands with three different radios using just a single tri-band antenna. Here's what you get. Low-band systems, innovative 200-watt triplexer, three LBS bandpass filters for 20, 15, and 10, and three coaxial jumper cable assemblies. Choose from RG8X or high-isolation RG400. And the triplexer combo eliminates the need and the cost for extra antennas while providing a fast setup and worry-free operation without RF interference. And if you're looking for a reliable field day tri-band Yagi, and DX Engineering has a great lineup, including the world-famous Skyhawks, featuring the easy mount system and computer-optimized design for maximum gain and bandwidth. And of course, if your setup is going to look sharp, your operators need to look sharp as well. And that's where the high-quality 100% cotton T-shirts featuring the 2018 AWRL Field Day logo on the front and the AWRL International Grid Chase artwork on the back come in. They're available for men and women in a range of sizes in navy blue and white. You can choose from other AWRL Field Day gear as well, including GOTA pins, hats, patches, mugs, and logbooks. And while you're fighting the elements on Field Day, because you know it's probably going to rain, you can always make sure that DX Engineering is right there with you. In addition to ball caps, T-shirts, and polo shirts with the logos, you can choose from sturdy 10x10 canopies and umbrellas, good for sun or rain. Perfect for both, as a matter of fact. Sports bags, perfect for hauling spare cables, mugs, logbooks, ballpoint pens, everything you need for logging. You can buy them separately or as a DX Engineering Field Day Survival Kit. It's all at dxengineering.com. Everything for field day, from coaxial cable assemblies to ladder line and wire antenna kits. And you know, DX Engineering ships faster than anybody else in the industry. Most orders placed by 10 p.m. Eastern are shipped the same day. Proven products, expert advice. DX Engineering is helping you shrink the globe. Request your catalog or shop online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at dxengineering.com/hamnation. And we thank DX Engineering for everything they do for us here at Ham Nation. Well, yeah, as Bob mentioned, WTWW is on a new frequency tonight, 15.815. So if you're hearing that, make sure you send a signal report to email at wtww.us and let them know how that thing is it getting out. Right now, let's take a look at the news of the week from Amateur Radio Newsline and the solar report from Dr. T. From Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2117, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, May 30th, 2018. With Hamvention 2018 a memory, plans for next year have already begun.
Are you ready for Hamvention 2019? Okay, not so fast. It's only days since the big gathering in Xenia wrapped things up. General Chair Ron Kramer, KD8ENJ, told Newsline the final attendance count wasn't in yet, but he expected this year's attendance to top nearly 30,000 amateurs who visited the fairgrounds in 2017. The theme of amateur radio serving the community didn't just find its way into various award ceremonies and forums, but even turned up in informal gatherings near the food trucks where hams from Puerto Rico and other storm-ravaged places enjoyed eyeball QSOs for the first time with hams who shared last year's storm assistance efforts with them. Ron said some of the greatest strengths of the weekend event were the new weather-resistant tents and the 767 volunteers who came in from around the world to keep operations running smoothly. Meanwhile, there were special hours at the Voice of America Museum nearby in Westchester, Ohio, which opened its doors to more than 250 hams from around the world who got immersed in broadcast history and even got on the air. To quote Ron, when Newsline asked him about the overall positive feedback so far, "If you have any complaints about Hamvention 2018, you probably weren't there." For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Kevin Trotman, N5PRE.
CQ Magazine honored hams at Hamvention with inductions into their Hall of Fame.
The CQ Amateur Radio Hall of Fame inducted 11 new members during Hamvention, including Silent Keys, ranging from the late actor Marlon Brando, FO5GJ, to the three astronauts killed in the shuttle disaster of 2003. Laurel Clark, KC5ZSU, David Brown, KC5ZTC, and Kalpana Chawla, KD5ESI. The list also includes open source QRP kit designer Ashar Farhan, VU2ESE, Silent Key Grady Fox, W4FRM, one of the pioneers of single sideband, African-American broadcaster and college radio supporter Wendell King, a Silent Key who was formerly 2ADD, and Fred Lloyd, AA7BQ, who founded QRZ.com. The list also included well-known educator and youth advocate Carol Perry, WB2MGP, Cybersecurity's Mark Peason, KC9X, VE3QAM, and U.S. Army photographer Ed Westcott, W4UVS. The Hall of Fame was created in 2001 by CQ Magazine and has since inducted 321 members. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Mike Askins, KE5CXP.
If you're lucky, your club has a clubhouse. If you're really lucky, maybe a trailer. One very lucky club has a, well, just listen.
The Johnston County, North Carolina Ham Club does what many ham clubs do. They have around 65 members who support hurricane evacuees when they come inland. They run and support a repeater. They participate in field day. And they have their own hambulance.
Somebody called it a hambulance.
That's right. They have a converted ambulance, which once belonged to the county. Club member Paul Dunn, KD4BJD, spotted an unused ambulance, and club president Mark Gibson, N4MQU, explains.
He kept seeing this ambulance part. He saw the grass growing over it, and they just weren't using it, and he started asking questions, and one thing led to another, and Johnston County donated the ambulance.
Mark says it's still a work in progress, but currently has two operating positions. The truck has some ICOM HF gear, as well as the ability to monitor public safety frequencies.
The first part of April, we put up 10 mounts up on top, so we could add more operating positions if we need to.
And the ambulance has been tasked with educational outreach.
You know, the general public does not know anything about communication, and that's what the vision for the truck is. We have some elementary school students, and they have a ham radio club, and they were fascinated by it.
For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
One final reminder, the deadline for nominations for the 2018 Newsline Young Ham of the Year Award is literally hours away, Thursday, May 31st at midnight Eastern Time. All the details are on the Newsline website. And for the rest of this week's Amateur Radio News, please listen to the full Amateur Radio Newsline report online on a repeater near you or on shortwave radio station WTWW at 99.30 and 50.85 kilohertz.
And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news for four decades and counting at www.arnewsline.org. With Kevin Trotman, N5PRE, Mike Askins, KE5CXP, Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team across the globe, I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW. 7-3. We'll see you next time here on Ham Nation. Now here's the solar update with Dr. Tamitha Scove.
We have a large coronal hole that's rotating into the Earth strike zone. And last time around, this coronal hole gave us a big solar storm. Will it bring us more aurora? Those stories and more in the news this week. Space weather this week continues to be pretty exciting. We have a dark coronal hole that's shaped kind of like a horse galloping across the sun this week. It's going to be entering the Earth strike zone in just a couple days, and it could give us a decent solar storm. Now, this isn't the first time we've seen this coronal hole. About a month ago, it gave us a moderate level storm and brought aurora down to mid-latitudes for an extended period. This time, we don't expect the storming to be quite so strong, but we could still see aurora for a couple days at least to high latitudes, maybe for a short while down at mid latitudes. Now, meanwhile, you amateur radio operators have also got to be loving life. We have region 2712 along with a couple other bright regions that are still keeping the solar flux boosted into marginal radio propagation conditions for you guys. Now, as some of these regions rotate off of the sun's west limb, we have no problem because we've got another region that's going to be rotating into Earth view here in the next couple days. So that will continue to boost the solar flux and continue to keep radio propagation looking good. Switching to your M-flare threat meter, you can see back on the 22nd is when region 2712 really started showing some solar flare activity. You can see the X-ray flux boosted, which is a proxy for the solar flux. You can see the flares popping like that. But once region 2712 got really into Earth view, it kind of fell back asleep and it kind of snoozed for a bit. We saw a little bit more flare activity on the 28th, and now it's snoozing again. And we see a little hint of activity kind of close to the west limb, so I wouldn't be surprised if this region flared up one more time before disappearing behind the west limb. And this is good news for you amateur radio operators because it's going to make sure that the solar flux stays within the marginal radio propagation conditions, but we won't see any M-flares from this region most likely. So rest easy, you should have some good propagation on the day side easily over the next week. Switching to your solar storm conditions, you can see we've been pretty quiet for quite some time. We've gotten a few disturbances here and there from pockets of fast wind, from remnant coronal holes, but really nothing that's popped us above unsettled conditions. As a matter of fact, all we've done is bump up to unsettled conditions and then back down to normal and even quiet conditions, which is pretty much where we are now. But things will change very soon as we get the fast wind from this larger coronal hole. It could actually bump us back up to a solar storm. Switching to our solar storm conditions and aurora possibilities over the coming week, we are anticipating the hit from that fast wind from that huge coronal hole that's rotating into the Earth strike zone. At high latitudes, NOAA is expecting up to a moderate storm level. It's got about a 65% chance of a moderate storm starting in the first couple days in June. Now, at mid-latitudes, we're only expecting active conditions, but we've got about a 30% chance of a minor storm. So this means aurora could dip down to mid-latitudes for a short while, and that should make your aurora photographers very happy. And if this storm is anything like the storm last month from this same region, we could continue seeing active conditions through the weekend and possibly even into the early part of next week before things finally begin to calm down. Switching to your solar flare and particle radiation storm outlook over the coming week, everything is still in the green when it comes to solar flares. Region 2712 is the only numbered region on the Earth-facing disk right now, and it is definitely not an M-flare player. So amateur radio operators and emergency responders, you don't have to worry about radio blackouts. I don't think that's going to be an issue. The nice thing is that the region is boosting the solar flux and keeping us at marginal radio propagation conditions, and it will continue to do so even over the next week, possibly even longer than that, maybe the next 2 weeks, as we have two new regions from the sun's backside that will shortly rotate into Earth view. So the space weather this week is very exciting. We have a dark coronal hole that's going to be rotating into the Earth strike zone here in the next couple days. And this brings a possibility of a decent solar storm. So you aurora photographers, get ready. You could have a good chance for some much-needed aurora action. Now, you GPS operators, you should be loving life on Earth's day side because there's no risk for radio blackouts or anything like that. Your reception should be good. But on the night side, once that solar storm hits, be sure to stay clear of aurora and also be very careful around the dawn dust terminators because that's where your reception could get a bit glitchy. And now, you amateur radio operators and emergency responders, you should also be loving life, especially so close to solar minimum, because the solar flux is still boosted and we are enjoying marginal radio propagation conditions. And this will last easily over the next week and possibly beyond that into the next 2 weeks as those two new bright regions rotate into Earth view. I'm Tamitha Scove. Thank you for watching.
Thank you, Tamitha. It's always good to have you on here. We really appreciate everything that you do for us here at Ham Nation. And if you don't follow her on Twitter, you really need to, at Tamitha Scove. She's always on there with great up-to-the-minute information at all hours of the day and night. So make sure you follow her on Twitter. Let's see what's going on in the chat room. And we go back now over to Colorado and Amanda.
Well, thank you, Don. My first question, and I stepped out for a moment during your ARN, but how's the Young Ham of the Year award going? Is it closed off now? Are there no more nominations?
May 31st. So tomorrow night at midnight Eastern time is the deadline for email submissions, electronic submissions. As long as you get your snail mail submission postmarked by midnight on May 31st, we will count that. So, we've got less than 24 hours. Well, a little more than 24 hours left. So, all day tomorrow till midnight Eastern, and then that is the deadline.
Okay, I just got to say we've had some wonderful use on here during this year. So I hope everyone went out there and nominated somebody because I think that we all know of one or two that we could definitely nominate and would be worthy of that. So,
absolutely.
And Huntsville is going to be so much fun. I kind of want to look into going, but
you should, if you
can,
you should make it. It's a great one. Third weekend in August, exactly 3 months after Dayton.
3 months. All right.
Exactly.
And humidity and bugs. And.
But see, here's the great thing. It's all inside. Once you check into the hotel, there is a sky bridge from the hotel to the Von Braun Center. You never have to go outside.
You know, that's not so bad. All right. You know,
it's great.
I didn't get a lot of questions, but I do apologize. If you sent me questions during the segment I was doing, I did not see them. So I didn't have any. Let's go over some nets tonight and then we'll just wrap it up. It's fine. We've had a wonderful show. I think it was great content. And let's see, we have 40 meters on 7192. Kevin said, let's give it a go. Steve, W7UDI, said, I'm on 14268. He said, sorry, I missed you guys last week. I had a call. And when he says a call, he's a volunteer firefighter. So he goes out there and works those wildfires. So thank you, Steve, for everything you do, not only in ham radio, but also on the side. We appreciate that. We have our digital nets. We have 14 Charlie for D-Star. We have TAC 311 for DMR and our never-ending Echo Link do drop in. And I think that was the first net to start. Correct me if I'm wrong on that. I think that was one of the first nets to start from this show. So we always appreciate that so much. Other than that, that's really all I have. So who's going to wrap the show tonight?
Probably going to be me, I think, since Bob has ducked out. George, you have any final words of wisdom for us tonight?
Final words of wisdom tonight is start preparing now for fill day. If you wait until the week before, you're going to have some difficulty. But we'll see you next week. Maybe we'll talk a little more about that. I know Val's going to be talking about it some.
Yeah.
We're all going to be talking about field day. I love field day. Yeah. Field day is, I'm a freak for field day. I hope you all
Me
are.
Me too. Me too. And don't forget, George, it's field day fever.
Can you buy pickles? Can you buy pickles in there, Don?
Yes.
For hanging your antenna.
No, you got to go to the...
You bring your own home canned pickles. If I could reach the jar in this next room, I would show them to you. I can my own pickles to bring to field day.
That's great, unless you have Steve Calcagno, N5SC, on your field day team. Because one day, several years ago, we decided we were going to try to launch a string for a wire antenna, and he didn't have anything to tie to the string, to the messenger line. So he said, I want to see that can of pickles. And I mean, he hummed it. And I mean, it was a beautiful arc. And as soon as it left his hand, I could extrapolate where the arc was going to go. And it went right over the tree, beautiful, trailing that messenger line and right down in the middle of the asphalt jogging path. If it had been 2 feet to either side, it would have landed in grass and probably would have been fine. But so, no, you don't want pickles around Steve Calcagno, N5SC. I'm just saying. It's never a good idea.
You do not desecrate pickles like that.
No, especially.
We appreciate our pickles. Don't do that.
Especially. Mm-mm. The only person that can desecrate pickles, I think, is Gordon West when he electrocutes him. That's the only time. So, all right.
I'll give him that.
I think that'll do it for us tonight, and we thank you all for being a part of what we do here, and of course we thank all of our sponsors, ICOM, DX Engineering, and everybody else who pitches in to help us do this, and Victor back at Twit, and so for the normal cast of goons that we have here tonight, I'll say goodnight for the room. So goodnight everybody, and we'll see you now. Oh, and congratulations to Tyler, N7TMW. He graduated high school. So now it's off to college or the military or whatever he decides he's going to do. But whatever he decides he's going to do, it's going to be awesome. I'm so proud of my son. So love you, son. N7TMW. What a kid.
We're proud of him, too. Congratulations, Tyler.
He's a great young man. Love
him. You're awesome.
Us, he is. All right. Good night, everybody. We'll see you next week right here on Twit. This is Ham Nation. Good night, everybody.
7-3.